I am so thankful for men and women of God in this place that serve Him with a pure heart. Amen. And that's not just our music team, but that's most of you here today. We are just so blessed to be able to be servants in the house of the Lord. You know, whatever we do, we really do to the glory of God. Whatever we do to His glory and to His honor. It's all because of Jesus Christ that you and I are here today. There's an old song that Brenda grew up with, and many of you perhaps in Sunday school heard the song, but this is just awesome. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Aren't you glad that He whispers sweet and low? Fear not, I am with thee. Peace, be still. In all life's ebb and flow. And then the chorus goes, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing. Keeps me singing as I go. You know that He is your song? He is my song. He is your song. He will keep you singing when the day is bright. He will keep you singing in the darkest night. He will keep you singing and deliver you from fear and fright. For He is not only your song, but He is your light. Amen. So continue to look unto Him, oh, with eyes set upon Him, and your future shall be bright. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's raise our hands and thank You. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's my song in the night. He's my song when everything is going well and the sun is so very bright. For He is my light. He is my salvation. He is my deliverer. He is my refuge. Hallelujah. Now listen to this next one. This is awesome. This could be a whole sermon today. Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting neath His sheltering wing, always looking on His smiling face. That is why I shout and sing. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Amen. So sing all week. Shout all week. When things don't look good, He's your song. Look at your neighbor and say, He's my song. And your song too. Joel chapter 2, verse 21 and 23 says, Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be glad then, ye children of God, children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for He has given you the former rain moderately. And He will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. When the Scriptures speak of rain, it speaks of natural rain and spiritual rain. Spiritual rain is a manifestation of the presence of God and of the glory of God on a life, on a nation, on a church, in the world. And the Bible says that what He did in the old covenant was moderate, it was wonderful, it was awesome and in our eyes. But He says in Haggai, He says, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord. That means that His presence is going to be stronger in us, on us, and upon us, and flowing through us in these days than it was in the last, in the former days. Amen? How many of you can rejoice and be glad over that? Hallelujah. You see, as I said last week, we are living, walking temples of the Lord of glory. You are His house. You are His temple. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:16, "What, know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives in you?" Say that with me, the Spirit of God. He lives in me. Now, we looked at this last week, but I want to look at it again. Look with me at Colossians chapter 1, and notice with me in verse 26 and verse 27. It is vital that you and I identify Him in our lives and where He is in our lives. If He's just the big guy in the sky, that's not really a good platform or foundation for a victorious life. Thank God He is in heaven, but He's also in us. And oftentimes we identify Him in other people's lives, but God wants us to locate Him in our own individual lives. Colossians 1:26. Ready? Let's read. Go ahead. Verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Now listen, which is Christ. Christ where? Not in heaven, though He is in heaven, but Christ in you, by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And because He is in you, it gives you hope. And hope, biblically defined, is having a confident, favorable expectation. When you have a revelation of Christ in you, you then can have an expectation of glory. In other words, we have a confident, favorable expectation of His glory, of His presence manifesting in our bodies, manifesting in our souls, manifesting in our marriages. Come on, somebody. Manifesting in our business. The manifestation of His presence we are certainly hopeful for. We are expecting it in a large degree, individually, corporately, and worldwide. Say it with me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Now here's something that I want you to get today, that you and I were called to glory. Now I understand that glory is a place, and when we're born again, you know what? We're heading there. You know, whether it be by death or by the air, we're heading to glory. But I believe when the Scripture says that we're called to glory, there is a twofold meaning there. Not just the glory of heaven, but I believe glory here on earth. Presence here on earth. God made manifest in the earth. Amen. We're called to glory. Let me quote this to you. Thessalonians says that you would walk worthy of God, who has called you into His kingdom and into His glory. Look with me at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Say it with me, I've been called. I've been called to glory. Hallelujah. What does that mean? That means we've been called to have His presence in our lives. In 1 Peter 1 verse 3, it says, and I want you to read it with me. It says, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who has called us. So I want you to pay particular attention to that phrase. I'm called to glory. So I believe the Spirit of the Lord would want us to be confident and to be strong in the hope of our calling. Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus that they would know what is the hope of their calling. That's a timeless, spirit-inspired prayer. If that prayer was prayed for Ephesus, it could be prayed for those of us in the Bay Area. I believe that we're going to come into a place in God where we're going to know more about the hope of our calling. Look with me at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. This is a great song too. You are a chosen generation. I remember that song. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Think I'd make a good song leader? A peculiar. Anyway, okay. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation. Wow. You could have been born in the 1700s. You could have been in a place in the 1700s where you had to milk your cow to get milk for your latte today. You could have not had a bath, but a path. You could have, instead of riding in on your nice automobile, you could have horse and buggy. But you see, God knows exactly what He's doing. You're chosen to be alive in this generation. There's a purpose for you being here. Pastor, I've lost my purpose. It's going to get reignited. And I'm osebre deshte. And I believe with all my heart that what's going to ignite His purpose in your life is His presence permeating your very being and restoring and re-energizing and bringing fresh vision and keen eyesight to your life. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. I believe it. So don't get down on yourself. If you've been down a little bit, be lifted. Let the Lord minister His grace to you. You're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. I am. I haven't been walking in holiness. Well, get with it. You are a peculiar people. That does not mean you're an oddball. That means that you are uncommon to this world system. It's very difficult to live in the world and fellowship in this system of the world and fellowship with God at the same time. You can live in the world and not be of the world. Amen. That you should show forth the praises of Him. Now listen, He's called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Aren't you glad He called you out of addiction into His marvelous light? Aren't you glad He called you out of occultism into His marvelous light? Aren't you glad that He called you out of Mormonism, or being a Jehovah's Witness, or worshiping a dead God, and bringing you into His? Woo! Now I say by the word of the Lord today that in these last days God will visit hungry hearts. He will visit those looking for Him, even though they are bound by a dead religion. He will show Himself and make Himself real and clearly seen to those that are bound by Islam. Yeah, He will. Muslims will come into the kingdom of God in vast numbers in the last days. What about those that don't? Well, what about everybody that doesn't? Let's not live on what about those that don't. Let's live on thank God for those that do. Let's thank God for those that will. He will visit every hungry heart. He will make himself known and he will make himself clearly seen. Now notice this statement. Who has called us? Thank God I'm not in hell today. I could have split hell wide open. But he called me out. And he called you out. And he lifted us out of the pit. And put some of us in the pulpit. I about died in my 20s several times. About died. A lot of my friends did die. If I'd have died in my 20s, I'm sure of it, that I would have split hell wide open. And I'd have been there 40 some years for eternity. But he called me. He called me. He called you out of the devil's den. Literally. He called you. Hallelujah. Called you out of darkness. Imbrevedisto pradaye, nisto prokongli dezefini. Never give up, says the Lord, on your loved ones. Never let them go. For as long as there is breath, there is hope. You hold on to me for them. Declare that my mercy hovers over them. And I'll work on your behalf and I'll bring people toward them. And it won't be long before they'll come in. Glory. Glory. Hakasea. Lomredishte fedembolo posikitila dola brateye. So watch your words and watch what you say about them. Even though what you can see looks very dark. Know this, saith the Lord, that I'm on the throne. And I'm the one who called you out and I'm calling them out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. That ought to give you some hope. Because Christ is in you, the hope of glory. You can have a confident, favorable expectation that the Christ in you will be tangible to your family and to those around you. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. He's called us. You know, you could have camp meeting right there. He called you out of darkness, John. He called you out of darkness, Raul. Called you out of darkness, Frank. You were bound by the same devils that had me bound. But thank God he couldn't hold on to us. Now we belong to him. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. And I must say, Vridega songa te pala dolobra vadijile go unga dek di jong. And I am calling several of you here, says the Lord. Oh, not out of the darkness of eternal death, but I'm calling many of you out of the darkness of carnality and out of the darkness of worldliness. For there is a call this morning, says the Lord. Answer the call. Lay aside the weight. Stand up in this hour. Yea, stand tall. And move in this year with me, and you shall be gloriously free. Hallelujah. He's calling us. The callings of God are calling you. Thank you, Lord. I mean, I'm just about ready to build 3 tabernacles up here and just camp out. Called. That's what you are. Called. 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 He knows you by name. Since he came into your life, you'll never, ever be the same. He knows you by name. And he's calling you today. Come on in. Come closer. Draw near. I love you. Hallelujah. Who has called us out of darkness. Now notice this next phrase. Into what? Okay, so let's break this down. We're chosen. We're royal. We're holy. We're not odd. We're purchased. That's what peculiar means, a purchased possession. That we should be praising. And so praise activates presence. Say this with me. Praise activates presence. And presence removes darkness. Show forth the praises of Him, not of man, not of preachers. Praises of Him. Now notice, who's called you out of darkness into where? Now notice he said that his light is marvelous. I think marvelous would be another word for glorious. Glorious is another word for splendor and for brightness and for brilliance and to be heavy with everything good. And so what you've been called out of is nothing compared to what you've been called into. Into His marvelous, into His glorious, into His wonderful light. Look at your neighbor and say, you and I have been called into glory. So don't give up on yourself. Stop being so difficult with yourself. Stop being so stringent with others. Stop being so legalistic. I believe the Lord is saying that. Come to me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Amen? Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. I felt a little something up in here. On my ugliest day, and I've had several of them, on my ugliest day, the Father looks down and says, He's mine. On your ugliest day, I mean ugly. On your ugliest day, with attitude and haughtiness, the Father still looks at you and says, she's mine. She's mine. All mine. And I'm going to hold her close to me because the work that I've begun in her, it will be completed until I return. God's not giving up on you. Don't you give up on Him. God's not giving up on you. Don't you give up on Him. He's begun a good work in you. He will perform it. He will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Give Him your all. Let Him work in you. Say it with me. I'm under construction by the King. Can I take a drink? Let's all just take in a drink of Him right now. Glory to God. Let's drink in. Let's drink in of Him this morning. Halabose karabosa. We drink in of Your Spirit. We drink in of Your Word. We drink in of Your presence, Lord. Okay, so let's take a little transition in this service now. I need to say some things to you this morning that are important. I've been speaking for those of you that are statisticians for 23 minutes and 57 seconds. The work of redemption is not just so we can go to heaven when we die, but so He could move in us while we're here on earth, and so we could be mobile houses for the presence of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now I realize and I know that life can be challenging, and I know that life can be very difficult. I've faced many challenges in my life, and you have faced many challenges in your life. We do not want to turn this service, however, into a top that tragedy testimony service. But the mere fact that we live in this physical being and live in body and live in this world, we will have tribulation. But Jesus said, don't give up, take heart, be of good cheer, for I have already overcome the world. Now listen to this statement. The presence of a problem never trumps the presence of God. When we are facing problems and facing challenges, never means that there is no presence of Him. You know, I believe that it's important to the Father for us to know that He will never leave us or forsake us. Who are we? Who are we? He must know something about us that we don't know. He must know something about you your wife doesn't know. He must know something about you your husband doesn't know. That means simply this, that we are valuable to Him. We're valuable to Him. I believe that by the Holy Spirit, that the will of God for you and me is for us in this year of the greater to be more aware of Him and His presence than we are the problems. Now I want you to look over at Psalms 23, and we're going to work with this a little bit. Psalms 23. How many of you like Psalms 23? He says, the Lord is my shepherd. Hey, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down, hey, in green pastures. He leadeth me, hey, beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yeah. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to be afraid. For you are with me, thy rod and thy staff. What do they do? Now notice, David said something that is really key here. David was conscientious of the fact that there were enemies around him. Look at verse 5. He says, you prepare a table before me in heaven. No, he says, you prepare a table before me right here in the presence of my enemies. And not only is this table prepared for me, but you anoint my head with oil. And right here in the presence of my enemies, my cup's running over. It doesn't sound to me like David's bummed out by the presence of a problem. It sounds like he's more consumed with the presence of Jehovah at the table. I want you to look at this in the Message translation. I'm going to make a statement here that'll help you guys today. Let's read it together. Ready? Let's read. You serve me. A 6-course meal. Has anybody ever been on a cruise before? Some of those cruises, they serve literally 6 courses. And if you don't like the lobster, they'll give you the pork tenderloin. And if you don't like the pork tenderloin, they'll give you the filet mignon. And if you don't like the filet mignon, they'll give you the chicken marsala. And if you don't like the chicken marsala, they'll give you the Alfredo. And if you don't like the, you know, on and on and on. And if you like all of them, they'll give you all of them. Is that right or is that right? It's the truth. That's why they have treadmills on those big ships. But you see, on God's table, there's more than six courses. There's bread on God's table. It's the children's bread for healing. There's great, big, huge jugs of joy on God's table. There's platters of peace. There's healing. There's joy. There's prosperity. But I want you to notice that there is going to be a table in heaven when we get to heaven. The marriage supper of the Lamb is going to be awesome. But we don't have to wait to participate and have tastings of the Lord and know how good He is till we get there. He said He prepares a six-course meal for us right in the presence. Listen, if you wait for perfect conditions before you're happy, you'll never be happy. If you wait for all problems to be completely annihilated and completely done with, you'll never get here. Like one person came to someone and said, "Pray for me that I'll never have any more problems with the devil." The guy didn't try to be a wise guy, but he basically said, "You want me to pray that you'll die?" "Oh, no, no, no." For as long as we're in this earth, there's going to be challenges. But the more submitted we are to God, the more submitted we are to Him, it's not a big deal. Now, here's the statement. I'm going to say it a couple times because you might want to write this down. This is a good take-home for you. The presence that makes a difference for your victory, the presence that makes a victory, makes a difference for your victory and for your rest, is not the absence of the presence of the enemy. The presence that makes a difference is not the absence of the enemy, problems, pressures, and people. What makes a difference is the presence of God. I'm going to say it again. The presence that makes a difference is not the absence of the enemy, problems, pressures, or people. But what makes the difference, it is the presence of God. Now, I asked those in the first service to do some homework for me, and I want to ask you to do the same thing. Brendan and I are going to take a Sunday off next week. We're going to go get refueled. But I want you guys to be thinking about something while we're gone. And if you want to send Jane a note or send me a note, I'm going to ask you a question that I want you to think about. And it has to do with practicing. Amen. Practicing. Everyone say practicing. Practicing. Now, there is a statement that practice makes. Perfect. What does practice make? Perfect. Practice makes. I can relate to it in sports, and I don't want to, you know, talk about my sports because I don't want to tell everybody how good I was, because that gets a little obnoxious. But I can remember as a junior in high school preparing for the state tournament, I can remember as a junior in high school, we'd go over the same drills over and 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 over again to where it became second nature.
Amen.
So that when we got on the court, we implemented what we had practiced. If you play the violin, You can't just pick up the violin every year or so and expect to be as good as you were 5 years ago when you practice every day. Amen? A medical doctor. If a medical doctor is in his or her practice for 10 years and they're practicing just about every day and they're familiar with all these different things that are going on, but if they let their practice go for 10 years, they might get a little what? A little rusty. Because practice makes perfect. And you know what? It's easy to get rusty when it comes to practicing the presence of God. Amen. It's easy to. Because here's what happens. We face so many challenges. How many, you know, sometimes they just come at you like darts. One after another, one after another, one after another. And you're doing your best to stay in fellowship with God, but all of a sudden, these things just kind of stack up on you. And what enters in is the cares of this life and different things that try to bog you down. But I believe with all of my heart that as we learn to practice His presence and we learn to take things to Him and lift those things to Him and put them in His capable hands, He will enable us to go through the pressure with greater presence of God than pressure from the enemy. Amen. And not only that, but you'll be able to sleep at night. You'll be able to walk in joy. And you'll be able to walk in the fullness of the plan of God. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about how can I practice His presence? What can I do to practice the presence of God? You see, how can I say this? God is omnipresent, is He not? Now, what does omnipresent mean? Omnipresent is a theological word for that God is everywhere present. He is also omnipotent. What does omnipotent mean? Omnipotent means that He's all-powerful. Okay? Omniscient, all-knowing. So He's omnipresent. So God is everywhere present, but how many of you know that His presence is not always in manifestation? He's with you in your darkest hour, but you may not sense His presence. I mean, He's in the earth, He's in the world today. But where His presence is not activated and where His presence is not accessed, it won't be in manifestation. Now, let's bring this down to where you and I live. How many of you know that our life is important to Him? It is Christ in us, the hope of glory. But how do we get to this place where we access His presence so that we're sensing His presence in our everyday walk and in our everyday challenge? What do we do? How do we do that? I know for sure several ways. And I'm going to talk to you about that, but I want to hear from you. How many of you know how to practice the presence of God? I'm telling you, one good way for you to practice the presence of God is get yourself some good praise and worship. Get it going in your house. Get it going in your car. Get it going all around you. Surround yourself with songs of deliverance. Lift up the mighty name of Jesus. And lift up your hands and begin to worship Him and thank Him, and you will see a big difference. Now, I don't have time to get into all of it today, so I want to hear from you, but I want to close with three things that I believe will help you. There are three, as I see in the Word of God, there are three main purposes for His presence. Is anyone interested in this? There are three main purposes for His presence. Number one, His presence is here to guide us. It's here to guide us. The Bible says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the Father will send in my name, He says He will lead you and He will guide you into all the truth. Did you know that there is truth that God has for your life? In other words, there is a plan that God has for each of us individually that is ongoing. I've walked in the plan of God to a point, But I know that there's more to the plan. In other words, there's more truth for my life. There's more for you to tap into. There's more for you to do. There's more for you to attain. God's got more for you. And that's why He put the Holy Spirit on the inside of us to lead us and to guide us into all the truth. Amen. Amen. And so as many as are led by the Holy Spirit, they are the sons of God. Amen. The word sons there in the Greek is mature sons of God. We are growing spiritually when we learn to rely on Him and to be led by Him. Now, turn with me quickly to Galatians chapter 5. And notice with me in verse 22. So number one, His presence is in us for the purpose to guide us. But His presence is also in our lives to cause us to be developed in character. And also to produce fruit. Amen. Say it with me, His presence is in me to develop character and to produce fruit. How many of you know that the fruit of the recreated human spirit is love? It's joy. It's peace. It's long-suffering. It's gentleness. It's goodness. It's faithfulness. Verse 23. It's meekness or self-control. It's temperance or self-control. And against such there is no law. Now, what does that mean? That means that God, when you get born again, has placed all these character qualities of Christ in you. Yeah. Woo! Yeah. And when these character qualities of Christ are injected into your spirit, it becomes our responsibility to develop them. In other words, He's put love in me, but if I act like a nincompoop, I'm not letting the love of God dominate me. If I have peace in me and I'm wringing my hands and I'm worried and I'm talking trash and talking doubt and unbelief, it ain't helping me a single bit. But oh, the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. He's your helper. He's your guide. He will instruct you how to walk in love. You know, sometimes He'll show it just for you to keep your mouth shut. That's right. Did you know that you're walking in love the greatest sometimes when you just don't say nothing? Yeah. Amen. That's right. The Holy Spirit will help you to be patient. Yeah. Right. At line. In line. At lucky. That's right. He'll help you. But you know what? I can't do any of this in my own. I cannot shut down that second piece of pie by myself. See, without Him, I can't do anything. But He's placed within you the ability to be temperate and to be self-controlled. And so His purpose for His presence is not just out here, but it's in here. Say it with me, He leads me. He guides me into all the truth. And so when you sense yourself getting impatient, anybody ever been impatient before? Has anybody never not been impatient? I just got done working out yesterday. I was in line at Togo's or Tugo's, whatever you call it, to get a sandwich. And the line was long and the man of God was hungry, you know? I didn't look like a man of God. And this one guy was holding a conversation with this other guy in the front of the line, and they were calling him to come, to come, to come. I said, "Hey, dude, go." I said, "Lord, forgive me." I'm glad that the guy in front of me didn't say, "Well, how are you today, Pastor?" But you see, in your patience, you will either possess your soul or lose your soul in regards to peace. But the Holy Spirit's there to help us. I keep getting on this. I don't know why. I'm going to just say it. He will help you to hold your tongue.
Well, I've got my say-so, and I've got to give them a piece of my mind.
Hold on to your mind. You ain't got my left. He's my helper. And you better be prayed up when you go to the airport.
Amen.
But I'm walking in peace. I've been walking in peace to such a degree lately that I've been getting TSA approval, being able to go through the line with ticket without taking my shoes off. Thank you. So learn what the character qualities of Christ are, because Christ-likeness is what we are. We are to be like Christ. Now, the second purpose for presence is the Holy Spirit comes upon us. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts, the first chapter, the 8th verse. He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is what? How many of you have ever experienced the Holy Ghost coming up on you? Wow. I mean, to the degree that all of a sudden, you saw things you never seen before. You knew things you never knew before. You said things you never said before. The Holy Ghost came upon you and enabled you to do something supernatural. In other words, it was His super coming on your natural. Amen. Say it with me. His super coming upon my natural. Spirit-filled believers who are walking in the fruit of the Spirit and are cultivating the presence of God in fellowship will experience the Spirit upon them in a sweet way, and they will be a blessing. Amen. Upon you. Say with me, Holy Ghost,
Holy Ghost,
come upon me.
I've
seen the Spirit of the Lord come upon Brother Jimmy as he's singing. We were at a banquet the other night in December, and he had just finished a big plate of food like that. And I said, Jimmy, are you ready to sing? And submissive Jimmy says, yeah. But he got up and opened his mouth, and the Holy Ghost came upon him. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. Listen, He will make you and help you to be a sharp, keen business person. He will help you be an awesome parent. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, come upon us. Now, here's what happens when He comes upon you. He'll turn you into another man. He'll turn you into another woman.
Yeah,
that's right. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I got this in my spirit in the first service. I think it was for somebody in there, but I will just say this the way it came out, not prophetically, but the way it came out, that you may be sitting in your office and there may be all sorts of accusations come against you and all sorts of pressure and turmoil on the office. And someone come and accuse you of something, but expect the Holy Spirit to come upon you. And when He comes upon you, you'll give the right answer.
Amen.
Amen. Then lastly,
yeah. Amen.
How many of you remember what your homework is now for the next several days? The thought is He is ever present, but His presence is not in manifestation all the time. It is His manifest presence that makes the difference. We know He is there, but how do we get the lights to come on? How do we do it? We can do it. Then thirdly, turn with me to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Say it with me, the year of greater glory. And I so want you to get this. It's not just greater glory in the world, greater glory in our nation, greater glory in the Bay Area, but it's greater degree of glory in your life. We're moving up, aren't we? We're going from one degree of glory to the next. Now, here's the last one that I really believe. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord, one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Now, notice with me, and it filled what?
All
Now keep that up there. It filled all the house where they were sitting. Now notice with me that yes, they were filled with the Spirit later in that chapter. And it says, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. But first of all, the house was filled. So we could say, as a result of them being in one accord, in one purpose, and in one mind, and in one heart, God just filled the whole place. God in us to guide us, to help us develop. God upon us. But not only that, God among us. Among us. Among us. That's my prayer for this church. That we get so full of the presence of God all week long that when we come into this place, the Spirit of the Lord just begin to move among us. Listen, I've been pastoring over 30 years and I'm not satisfied in my heart yet. I'm happy in my heart, but I'm not satisfied because I know that there's more that He wants to do among us. I know it. I believe this, that revival meetings are good. It's great to have good meetings. It's great to have guest speakers in. But we need to go from a place of just having an occasional visitation to where it becomes a habitation of Him. And that's what we're believing for. To where every person that drives on our parking lot just says, what is it about this place? Something's here. They may not know what it is, but something's here.
Something's here.
When they walk into the sanctuary, they say, whoa, man, I had a migraine walking in, but I walked out free. I had some depression going on in my life. But there's something in this room. What is it? It's Him. It's His glory. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lift up your hands with me today. Let's give Him glory in the house this morning. Glory to God. Woo, glory. Thank you, Lord. Hey, listen, guys, help me out a little bit. You know you can go to a movie, and you know you can watch whatever it is, The Hobbit, The Smog, whatever. In 2 hours and 47 minutes. You can go and watch a movie for an hour and a half or 2 hours. But when it comes to church, all of a sudden people get too time conscious. We are not going to have what I talked about if we're time conscious. Now I know that there's been times where I've preached too long and you can go beyond the Spirit's leading. But you know something? This is important. And just for a few moments, let's worship Him. Let's give Him glory.